When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello.
Listen, right up top, if you want to hear more of those amazing singing sounds out of my dear friend Meatball, I would encourage you to get your ticks to the Creature Double Feature Presents Live Podcast Extravaganza with Vary That and Sloppy Seconds. Remember, October 12th, it is a Tuesday. We are doing our live podcast show in Long Beach. It's a double feature, so you can see Vary That at 7, Sloppy Seconds at 8:30. You can just get a Sloppy Seconds ticket. You can stay for both shows. It's going to be a good time, don't you think, Meatball?
I think it's going to be a wonderful time. I mean, you can't go wrong. You got Raja, who'll probably be a little bit high. Delta, who's always on top of it. You got me, which, wild card. You never know what's going to happen. And Dipper's going to be there with his new knee pads for cock sucking.
Oh, my God. And you can get your tickets at verysloppy.eventbrite.com.
And unlike Tamisha Amon selling tickets, our website works.
And guess what? Let's talk about today's show.
This week, we have the one, the only, the comedian extraordinaire, Miss Amy Miller.
What a fun time we had with Amy Miller. She's a fucking pro.
Yeah, she's incredible. She's so funny. We did not ask her anything about her life history. We're just talking comedy. So if you're into comedy.
Talking shop. We had a great time. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Goodbye.
Forever Dog.
When first choice is a big old bus,
you turn around and boom, you end up with us. Sloppy Seconds.
Oh, Diva. Our number is 213. 536. 910. Our email is sloppysecondspod@gmail.com. Now on with the show. Hi, you sloppy, you stupid little fucks, you nestle fucks, you dirty little fucks, you stupid little fucks. Welcome to Sloppy Seconds with Big Dipper and Meatball. I am Meatball, and that's Big Dipper.
Hello. I'm so excited today. You know, I called you on the phone last night, and I was like, what should we prepare? And you said, you know what? Let's go fast and loose, because our guest today, she's got the gift of gab.
She do, she do, she do. And I'm excited to talk to her. It's my good friend, comedian extraordinaire, Amy Miller.
Yay.
Hi, Amy.
Hi. What a sell for me in the morning. First of all, I can talk after 2 p.m. So this will be an experiment. But I got my coffee.
See,
I think that my milk is bad, but I'm like still drinking it. And I hope you don't judge me for that.
Is it dairy milk or nut milk?
Dairy milk.
Does nut milk go bad?
It does. I think it just takes longer.
It's just always so delicious.
Dairy milk. See, now I'm the opposite. As the day progresses, I get sleepier. And like by 2 o'clock, count me out. Like don't ever try to talk to me.
Meatball and I were literally texting at 7 a.m. this morning. Like back and forth about like work stuff.
But I've only seen you at night, Meatball. And
that's true, but I do take a nap.
She's a nap
And gal. I'm on tequila.
Oh, yeah. True. No, I am not a morning lady. But I was like, I can do 11, right? I'm a fucking grown-up, y'all.
Yeah, full-grown person. So I think 11 a.m. This is a win for everyone.
You were saying that you just got back from a comedy festival.
Yes.
Where was it? What was happening?
I was in Denver for the High Plains Comedy Festival. It's a real... Okay, comedy festivals in general are, like, a little wild. Well, I mean, not... Like, we're nerds. Like, comedians are losers, so it's not like...
That took, like, a big flip. You're like, we're like, wild and crazy nerds.
But, you know, I'm just not, like, cool wild, but... It's worse than ever because nobody saw each other for like a year and a half. And all the festivals were canceled. And so everyone's just like, it's like adult summer camp for I know. Dorks.
Was it just like a bunch of bits? Was everyone just working through their bits the whole time?
Oh, Meatball, I can't. I don't talk to people like that. I can't.
Can I ask a question?
You know I'm not fucking around with someone who's on all the time. No.
Do you, I've seen a lot, I've never seen you live, but I've seen a lot of your stuff online. And, you know, oftentimes the stuff that we see online, you know, Comedy Central, whatever, you're going to be, you're at the height of your game because they're filming it, right? Mm-hmm. You know, when I know this is a total, like, this is part of the process when there's like the little notebook and the people go, what else? What do I have here? Here's something. Mm-hmm. Let's see if this works. Do you like that? Do you like when people do that? Because I'm just like, see if it works in front of the mirror and then present it as a real joke. And that's how you see if it works. Don't lead with, let's see if this works.
Okay, no, I do not like that.
Okay,
however,
tell me.
Sometimes, but you know, stand up is nearly impossible to practice in front of the mirror. Have to try it in front of people. So those first few times, like of a new joke, maybe there's some stalling or whatever, but I in general try not to do that. I think it's a waste of everyone's goddamn time.
Yes, I'm not trying to be unreasonable. I know you have to work it out, but put your best foot forward.
Always.
I saw someone the other night who was like, well, this bombed last night, but let's try here. I'm like, well, now we know this failed already.
That I can get behind.
I prefer that. I like that. I also like when someone's willing to admit that they bombed and just continue having a good night.
Yeah, but sometimes also that crowd is wrong, like especially if it's the first or second time trying a joke.
Yeah.
So some levels of that I'm okay with. I've definitely used notes many times, but I make it look cool when I do it because they're on my iPhone.
Ooh, you get that nice scroll going.
She's technologically advanced.
So my technique of just taking loose leaf paper and writing a bunch of stuff and just having it loose on stage, that's not good.
But you make it work, you know.
Did
The charm, the charisma, it's all there.
Is it the paper where you rip it out of the notebook so it's got all the messy frills on the side too?
No, it's like one of those like notepads, so it's just got a scrap across the top. But I should just lean in and make it even messier.
Like while I'm talking, pull
the little perforated edge off.
It's like brown paper. It's like takeout bags from Uber.
Oh my God. Little
that
pieces
was
of
the
cardboard.
Worst in high school, like before they perforated those notebooks. And then by the end of the like semester, your shit was just like half ripped off and all curled up. And you're like, it was so hard to flip over. And then the one part of the wire starts to, we all sound really old now, starts to stick out the top.
I literally have a notebook right here and the wire is going, and I just bent it back.
It would stab you through your backpack.
Are you a college rule or a wide rule type of person?
Oh, I have developed into a wide rule, but I think it was college rule in college.
Okay. You said this is for me now that I'm here.
My handwriting's got a lot more sloppy as I've aged, like bigger and sloppier, which I hate. Because when I go back to look at my jokes, like, maybe that's why I don't bring a notebook on stage. Because I'm like, what the fuck that say?
Wait, speaking of bombing, Meatball, you did a comedy show the other night. And you posted online. You said, I bombed, but what? What did you say?
I said, did I bomb? Absolutely. Did I have fun? I don't remember. Amy, maybe we could talk this through. I talked about this on your podcast where I said comedians like show up after the show has started.
Yes.
So I think I got really in my head because I'm the type of person that at a show, this was a show called Blonde Tips, Highlighted Tips, something Tips at Precinct. Just the tip. And I got there at 6:30 for a 7 o'clock show, and I was the only comedian there. Then 7 o'clock rolled around, and the producer was getting texts being like, hey, we're on our way from Highland Park. And the show was supposed to start at 7:30.
Which means she hadn't left yet.
8:40. Yeah, hard 80.
Yeah,
well,
Danielle was coming to do her makeup in the dressing room.
Yeah, Danielle did her makeup in the dressing room, which I always love that she could show up and has 10 minutes to get ready, and she'll do it quickly.
Remember when she did our live podcast? She cut her dress backstage and like turned it into a look moments before coming on stage.
Yeah, and we were... But okay, so I have a nervous anxiety. I have, and so when I got there and I saw the list of names and I was like, oh, great. I know what position I'm in. I know how long everyone's going to be in front of me. I'm ready to do this because with a drag show, everyone has to be there before the show starts. You can't just start it and expect the girl to get there. But with comedians, they just kind of like stroll in, do their shit, and then leave. So no one was there. And at 7:30, I was still the only person there. And so I started getting nervous because he was like, you might just have to like go up and open it. And I was like, I don't want to do that. So then I just started drinking a lot, like a lot,
like a lot.
Like I had two shots, two doubles in 15 minutes. I was toasted. So then Otsko finally gets there and she's like, oh, well, Meatball, will you go on before me and like warm him up? And I was like, I can't. I have to go vomit. So I went and threw.
Girl.
So she goes up and does 18 minutes while I'm throwing up. And then I go out and have to do my set and I'm a mess. I was just like a wreck because for the past 30 minutes, I had been like psyching myself out. It was just not. And so I like got up there and just started screaming at people. I didn't even put my heels on. I walked out with my Uggs. It was just sloppy.
I don't know if stand up is your journey, you know? It's not...
Sit down. More sit down. That's your journey.
No, I think it's a combination of like maybe a lot of us have social anxiety slash like mild agoraphobia where like I will wait till the last second to like leave my house, but I try to be like on time for the show start at least, unless I'm last and then, but I'm always going to like make it to my set.
Yeah.
But I think also comedians have been wronged so many times because comedy shows always start an hour late. So you're like, okay, well, I'll just get there late because I don't want to fucking sit around for 2 hours for like 12 cents.
Also, I don't get that stressed about like when I'm hosting a show and I'm like just going up in between numbers and talking. And I was like, I could easily tell these jokes in between other people's things. But like to just throw me out to the wolves like that, I was like, not for me.
I know. And you probably would have been fine. That's the thing. Because also you care and you're funny. And those are the people that do the best. But like I've totally been there. Like early on, I thought it was a good idea to get super fucked up before my set. But that what you're saying is the only benefit is that you don't remember how it went.
Yeah. Like, so I'm like, fine. I have flashes of like blank stares, but other than that, we're great.
Is there a recording of it, Meatball?
Hope not.
I recorded it.
Send them in, everyone.
So how long have you been? Oh, okay. We'll take a break. We had to sell commercials.
Do you love anime, gaming, movies, and discovering how your favorite pop culture affects everything you do? Then join us on Crunchyroll Presents The Anime Effect. I'm Nick Friedman.
I'm Lee Alec Murray.
And I'm Leah President. Every week you can listen in while we break down the latest pop culture news and dish on what new releases we can't get enough of.
Whether you love movies, I'm going to tell you all about the hopeful 4K re-release of Tron Legacy that happens.
I'm right there with you. Or music. The music in this show is absolutely incredible.
Or anime. Yeah. And under this mask is another mask.
You can discover your new favorites right here on The Anime Effect.
Listen every Friday wherever you get your podcasts and watch full video episodes on Crunchyroll or on the Crunchyroll YouTube channel.
Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals.
Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
You'll have over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long.
When my fridge is stocked with Factor meals, I'm like, oh baby, I don't have to think about this. Mm-hmm. Like, it is so nice. The combinations are so good. I am a meat eater, but the vegetable options, there are so many. Like, I remember I had like a mushroom with pasta and like a cauliflower rice. And I was like, the mushroom is filling. Like, there's plenty of portion, there's plenty of vegetable, and there's plenty of flavor. And I am usually sort of not a microwave person.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool that this quality of food can just be heated up in the microwave.
And so fast. I also love it because I am a very much into ordering delivery.
Now
having all the food there, I can kind of pick what I want and it's ready in 2 minutes. I don't have to wait an hour for stuff to get delivered. And these are way healthier options than ordering delivery.
Completely. And when they have multiple things in them, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, if I cook for myself, all I'm going to eat is the biggest bowl of pasta you've ever seen in your life. But this is like, you get a little pasta and the chicken and a vegetable all in one dish.
Looking for gourmet meals? Try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus.
And Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. All you gotta do is heat up and savor the good stuff.
Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause to reschedule deliveries that suit your lifestyle.
And we're celebrating Earth Day all month long with Factor. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu items for their lowest carbon footprint meals.
Head to factormeals.com/sloppyseconds50 and use code sloppyseconds50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box.
That's code SLOPPYSECONDS50 at factormeals.com/SLOPPYSECONDS50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
That's a sleigh, baby. And we're back. So how long have you been doing stand-up comedy
for? Oh, I just had my 11th anniversary.
Amazing.
So when you subtract a pandemic and a chunk of time that I quit early on because comedians are horrible, like, yeah, 11 years, but technically 8.5. You know what I mean?
You know what I'm saying.
Wait, what made you quit?
Yeah, what did you make you quit?
Oh, I started in the Bay and I just, I don't know. There's like a weird, comedy is very like high school-y and I don't know. People were just being kind of shitty to me. And I can't even believe like at that age, I allowed myself to get bullied. Like now it's like very funny. Like who bullies a bully, you know? But sometimes when a new woman like starts on this very insular scene, women especially, like, it's just, like, shitty. Like, I don't know. I just kept hearing, like, weird rumors about myself. Like, it was straight up, like, high school. Like,
oh, my God.
Oh,
no.
I fucked, and I was, like, a slut. And I was, like, I mean, yes, but also, I'm funny. Can you just let me work? So I quit for, like, maybe, like, 10 months or something early on. And then, I don't know, I couldn't stay away. Or someone, like, asked me to do a show, and I was, like, okay, I guess I'm back in. It was just drama. It was like creepy drama.
It's so interesting. That kind of behavior, I feel like it's so easy to set your intention not to participate in that, to just like be like welcoming to whoever shows up. And like, it doesn't matter. Like it's all, like you said, it's all such bullshit. There's no need to like bully someone who's also trying to do something. But that behavior is so ingrained in us. Like the amount of like side eye catty comments Meatball and I will make when like someone new is throwing a party. And I'm like, there's no point. Like, I don't actually feel that way. You know what I mean?
It's
just like kind of funny.
No, but I feel like we're
all. No.
Don't you feel like we're all just? It comes so easy to just be rude, and then you're like, you kind of have to stop yourself and be like, no, I don't actually feel that way.
Yeah,
or it's like,
I go to the party and I'm like, I had a good time.
Yeah, you're like, this is great, and they're really nice. What am I doing?
What's wrong with me?
It depends. I don't know. I mean,
y'all are horrible people.
Yeah, she's like, fuck y'all.
You know what's really funny is I'm like close friends with most of those people that were shitty to me in the beginning.
Oh.
And even like there were like women comics in the Bay that now are like very well known comedians.
Name names.
Well, you name names. Who's throwing these shitty parties?
Me.
No, but they turn out not to be shitty. They turn out to be great.
And so we've like moved past it. But yeah, I think there is this weird, just ingrained competition and like, oh, if this new person comes in, then they're taking my spot maybe.
Mm.
And it's just like, it's just diva shit and it's unnecessary.
Totally.
You know? I try to welcome any like young woman that I meet in comedy, because it's so awful to do that. I'm just if you need any help, I'm like, it's this old grizzled veteran. I'm like, listen up, little lady.
I've been here. You come to me.
I'll kill anyone who talks to you.
That's amazing.
I kind of have a question about like, what are the like stepping stones to being a bigger comedian? I know that you were on Last Comic Standing. I know that you had an epic little moment that we don't talk about. And then I know that you have a 30-minute Comedy Central thing coming out. But, like, how do you gauge, like, where you stand in the comedy scene when you have, like, all these other opportunities coming up?
Well, now it's all over the place. And, and it's the exact same in drag, I'm sure, because it's like, oh, this person amassed, like, an insane Instagram following, but is like a newer comedian, so people know who they are, you know. Or there's like people who've done a ton of shit on YouTube, or someone got a sitcom role, or was like in a competition show. And it's just, it's kind of a combination of things. I'm not a famous comedian, obviously, but I think I'm well known enough that like people kind of know my name as like a person in comedy. A lot of that for me is like, honestly, podcasts, so embarrassing. but because I've done enough of like the bigger podcasts, that's another thing. Some people are like pretty new, and then like, God forbid, I mean, are we allowed to say his name on here? Joe Rogan will have them on.
Right.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
And then all of a sudden they've gone from like opener to headliner because that audience is so huge. So it just really depends. There is like no standard way. Because even I have friends that I'm like, you've been, you know, my friend Johnny Pemberton that I just toured with, who's awesome. I mean, we sold out most of our shows, but they weren't selling out immediately. You know what I mean? And I'm like, what do you have to fucking do? He's been in like 70 movies and was on an NBC show. Like, it's just so, and so people know who he is. But it's not, again, we're not like filling a theater or whatever. So it's just very unpredictable. It's wild.
It's also so interesting how that model, the moment it feels like, okay, this is what I do, it immediately changes. Because, you know, like even thinking about music, like talking to people who got their start, or hearing stories from people who got their start in like the 90s or early 2000s, it's like, there was no self-producing anything. You like made a demo and you shopped it around. And you had to wait. And that whole idea that we can now make our own, you know, avenues with the internet, that feels like this is how it's done now. But it's like, now it's like, even with TikTok and all that stuff, it's just constantly changing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And those, you know, those in the 80s, the labels would bring cocaine to the radio station. And now I bring cocaine to comedy bookers, and then that's how.
That's a lie. I bring the cocaine. Lie.
Yeah, Meatball's the hookup.
No, I will be like touring and do a show with someone that I'm like. This literally just happened in SF that Cobb's Comedy Club was like, "Can you open for this guy?" And I'm like, "I've never fucking heard of this comedian." And on stage, I can see he's like a very green stand-up. He's like doing kind of open mic or shit.
Right.
But he has a million billion YouTube fans. And so he's headlining this club. And it's just like, you know, I'll probably, if he keeps doing stand-up, I'll keep running into him. But a lot of those people, like, eventually stop because, you know, the percentage of people that, like, at our core are, like, stand-up comics is much smaller than the number of people that are touring doing comedy.
Right.
Yeah. Which is fine. You know, I'm not being shady, but
even our friend Nicole talks openly about, I started, you know, she was like, she says she booked colleges because she was on TV and she didn't know she had to do stand-up, and then she learned how to be a great stand-up because she has that ability. But that was like, oh, she booked all these shows, and it's like, you gotta fill the time.
Okay, but Nicole is sick. Let's talk about it. Yeah,
she's so good. There's nothing she can't do, and it's very annoying.
I know, but no, I mean, she's sick in her head because she is a perfect example of what I'm talking about. Like, there is no reason for Nicole to continue to do stand-up right now.
Right.
But she is so naturally funny, and she does love being on stage. Most people at, like, living the life that Nicole is living right now and getting the roles that she's getting would take a long break from live performance. Because it's a nightmare. I'm out on the road with her. People are heckling and yelling nailed it and fucking trying to walk on stage and shit. Like, why would she want to do that when she does not need the money? That's how I know she's fucked up. You know, and that means she's a real performer.
Right.
But a lot of people, like the number of friends I've had who even get like a writing job where they're not on camera all the time anywhere, but they're making good money and they just stop doing stand up is a lot of people. A lot of people.
Wow.
So yeah. R.I.P. Nicole. She's
gonna die.
She's fucking crazy.
But she looked incredible at the Emmys both days.
Oh gosh.
Flawless. Absolutely so flawless. Good. I love her.
I'd
so
like
much.
To move this conversation over to one of our newest obsessions. Carrot Top.
Oh.
Wait, didn't he show his dick on a
He
TikTok
showed
video?
Dong. Amy was the one who found it and sent it to me.
I give all credit for this starting with my ex-boyfriend, like first being like, you have to follow Carrot Top on Instagram. And then I told Michael and he got obsessed.
Yeah.
And then yes, of course, early into our Carrot Top journey, thank praise God, he just dropped Dong out of his running shorts. It was up for maybe like 36 hours.
Yeah, it was up for over a day. And
curse anyone who flagged it. Like,
yeah, how dare
these
and
fucking
I think
Christians.
He knew what he was doing. It poked out in a way that it's like hard to miss.
He kind of lifted it, didn't he? Like he lift the shorts up.
No, I think
just
he like
very short.
They're very short. God. Well, because I believe, and Amy, you don't have to say anything. I believe Carrot Top may be trying to slowly give it signals that he's coming out.
Oh, slowly. Yeah. No, he is cruising.
He's cruising. He's also only wearing rainbows. And in a most recent post, he's wearing a rainbow Andrew Christian hat.
Yeah. He's obsessed with rainbows. He's like, you know, he's one of those people that just, I feel like a lot of the sort of 80s, 90s, like here, like pop art, lunatic entertainer heroes that we have just been like, I don't talk about my sexuality. It's truly none of anyone's business. I'm just doing what I do.
Right.
And, you know, it's like a Paul Rubens thing. Like, so many of those folks are just like, I don't talk about it. And it's really interesting to me because, yeah, he does seem to be trolling for dick for sure. Oh
my God. He's letting his hang out. It's crazy.
Who do you think built all those props for Carrot Top when he was in his heyday?
I think he did.
He did.
He did all of it on his own, which is why it was, like, kind of even more impressive.
Yeah, because he's, like, an artist, truly. Yeah.
Oh, no. What, we're,
I mean, and all
let's get Carrot Top on the pod.
Wow.
Well, Michael and I have already been making secret side plans that we're all going to Vegas to see.
No, I know. And so, we're
anyway,
hopefully going in, like, 2 weekends.
The thing about the dong, too, was, like, everyone's first question, of course, is, like, is it big? And I'm, like, for Carrot Top, yes. Like, yes. Oh, I can't wait to see that show with you. We're going to really... I'd go to 2, honestly. Let's do a matinee. Well,
yeah, I want to see them both in a row.
We'll do the
children's showing and the adult showing. One with Dong and the one without.
Is he still doing props?
Yeah.
Yes. That's his whole zhuzh. But he's, I mean, he lives in Vegas. He like has a show, what, nightly probably?
Nightly. Well, when I was just there, he missed a night because, wait, I can't remember what it was.
He got a date.
He had some weird, weird illness that now I can't remember.
COVID?
Was it Carrot COVID?
Wait, you were just there because you were recording your... Was that when you recorded your Comedy Central?
No, I did that in New York last week.
I've
had a big couple of months, which is so fun.
Yeah, coming out of the pandemic.
So poor. This is great about comedy. I'm like, nothing has paid yet. So have you ever had like... I mean, hopefully in drag, there's more of a standard that like, you just performed, here is your money.
Well, at a club.
At a club, but like
other
for
kind
the...
Other gigs.
Not for TV
Like when
stuff,
I do
yeah.
corporate stuff or like TV stuff,
They're
I
like,
wait 2-3 months.
90 and we'll be... Right. Like, what is
net
that?
Net 90? I don't even want to do it anymore. I don't care how much money.
You go do it and you're kind of expecting the check that day, which is so dumb because then at the end of the day, they're like, Okay, so we're going to send you an email link, and then you have to create your own profile at our company.
Oh,
and
yeah,
then
get we'll into send our you this. Payroll
and I was
system?
Like, I don't want to be on your payroll system for this, there's, like, for one
there's
payment.
There's a reason I stopped working. Like, no.
They're like, please drive to the Valley so we can finger prick you to authenticate you to get a payment of $400. You're like, truly, yeah. Fuck all the way off.
Yeah. So, oh, yes. Yeah, so I was just in Vegas doing shows. And I did two clubs back to back, which was not a good idea because it was two solid weeks. And I was just like slowly going insane.
Oh, my goodness.
I've never been to Vegas. Is it really wild?
Whoa, really? Yeah. Well, come to see Carrot Top.
Come see Carrot Top with
I
us.
I would actually love to
we
come
might,
to see Carrot Top.
Let's do that. Let's all get in the same hotel and then we can try to get Carrot Top up to our hotel room.
And record yes. a little
podcast. And record a podcast under the guise
yes.
of sex.
Yes.
God, would I suck
yes,
Carrot
yes.
Top's dick?
Well, you got to look yes. at it first.
I mean, I've seen it. I'm the concern is the face to me.
Oh, you did get to see it?
Yeah, I just Googled it. It's available.
Oh, okay, because I keep a screenshot on my
Well, listen, let's take a quick break, and then I want to hear about taping your comedy special.
And we're back! That was pretty okay.
Pretty okay.
So much at this hour.
What do you think Ariana Grande would say about you on The Voice if you did riffs like that?
She would be like, quit coming for my whistle tone. Is that a good Ariana? I'm Ariana
Grande.
You
did it. Thank you. What I could say about it.
So impressions aren't my strong suit either. All right. Well, one of these days I'm going to figure out what I'm good at. Don't do stand up.
It's really
don't do impressions.
More of an Ariana Pequena that you're doing.
Wait, so filming a stand up special, that's like a huge deal.
Yeah, it was very fun. It was exciting. So Comedy Central does a round of half hour specials every year for, I don't know, 25 years or something. I mean, there's a lot of them. You can see them on Paramount Plus. So yeah, it's like something, it's like a milestone that a lot of us like submit for. Like I've submitted for it probably 6 times. Like literally you film 30 minutes of you doing stand up, send it in. They used to like also ask for a transcript and stuff, and now it's like all fast and loose. Like they're like, say whatever you want. And so I did 47 minutes, and that's not, and they're going to keep it mostly, I think, but I was just, it was at the Knitting Factory in New York, and it was very fun. Yeah, I was, like, doing crowd work and shit. Like, I was so, like, loose. I had two shots of whiskey before I started.
Like being loose? Like when you have like a loose show and you're just like throwing jokes around and doing crowd work, when you walk off, are you like, hell yeah? Or do you prefer to come off with like really knocking it out of the park with the like beat it out jokes that you know are tried and true?
I am always shooting for a combination. Yeah. And that's definitely what I was shooting for in my special. Like I do think it's for that, it was good for me. Like I was very nervous for like 4 minutes and then I was like, oh, this is just a show, you know. I had, like, friends there, like, comics came. It's, like, it's a show, so I'm just going to be normal. But I do want to get the jokes out. So I like being loose but not sloppy.
Yeah.
No disrespect to this podcast. and certain people who do stand up after a 6 shots of tequila.
I think it was 8.
We're talking about you, people.
Oh, it's me. I was looking around the room like, oh, my God, who would do that? That's so wild.
My favorite comedians in life are like, it seems natural,
yeah.
but you're still getting these punchlines out. Yeah. And sometimes it's almost like a surprise because you're like weaving from. I try to like go back and forth where it's like, oh, she's just hanging out and talking to us. And now she's doing a joke. But there wasn't like, now I'm going to do a joke transition. Right. Like, just, I try to weave it. And that was always, like, my dream of, because those are my favorite stand-ups, you know. Mm-hmm.
What'd you wear?
Oh, okay. I wore a blazer.
Ooh.
A power blazer, Tommy Hilfiger. It has patches on the elbows.
Shout out to Paula Poundstone. It was like a deep cut reference.
Yeah.
On the elbows. No patches in the shoulders.
Oh, sorry. I misunderstood.
And I wasn't wearing a long, skinny tie. But that
and
would
you
be
weren't
amazing.
Driving with your children drunk,
what
you know? You were really
blazer.
Living.
Meatballs.
What? Yeah, she did
don't
that.
Don't talk about that.
She did. Listen, we all make mistakes, and she came back from it stronger.
She did. A mustard top with like
I
a
love
plaid kind of like schoolgirl skirt.
Ooh.
Cute.
Tights and patent leather shoes. Yeah, I was going for very like, I don't know, like hot principal / like I'm a baby.
Yeah, hot principal baby. I got
very, very my brand.
You know what I mean.
I'm a sexy teacher.
What? Like
/ kid.
Hecklers to me are such a wild experience to have to deal with as a stand-up. What is it like? Do you have like a really wild heckler story about someone just being insane that you owned? Because that's a big thing on social media, right? Like on TikTok or on Instagram, where it's like comedian owns heckler.
And then you watch it and you're like, oh, like, okay. Is that the word we're gonna use for you? Like giving
them one time.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, okay, some of those videos are fake, is first of all what I want to tell you all. Little inside secret.
Yeah.
What?
But then even the ones that aren't fake, yeah, I agree with you. Sometimes it's like everyone is like wanting to do crowd work now. It just became a thing that like became popular, but it is not for everyone and not everyone's good at it. Because some comedians just aren't fast, you know? I don't. I mean, my heckler stories are all over the place. Like, one guy actually made me cry. That was a little drama. Like, I don't know. I just got him. He was, like, an older guy, and he hated me. And I just, like, my daddy issues just, like, came pouring through my tear ducts. and it was the one time I've ever cried on stage. It's very funny now. But I've had, like, a man fully approach the stage, like, walk on, because he was, like, mad about something that I said. And then nobody in the... Like, people don't know what to do in that moment. Like, I think they mean well, but they're like, is this part of the show? You know, so I had to be like, I need help. And then finally, like, two guys from the crowd, like, jumped up. Club security did absolutely.
Oh no. God.
They were like, let's watch this play out for this young lady.
Yeah. They're like, get the camera. Let's put this on TikTok.
This is right. Going on TikTok.
Comedian gets assaulted by audience members. Yeah, so he was real drunk and he was just mad and he decided he was gonna come and do what? It's not like I didn't think he was gonna beat my ass. I think he was gonna try to take the microphone or something. It's always a great drunk idea that those people have. Like, and then they get up there and freeze. It's so great. Let me tell you my main heckler.
Okay.
It is like she thinks she's supportive lady who's around my age. Fucked up on wine, 100% of the time, white, Caucasian all the time, and is just like, thinks we're at fucking brunch or whatever, you know? And sometimes it's nice. They'll just be like, I love you. And I'm like, literally, go to the drag show with a stack of dollars and please don't come back to comedy. Like, yeah, if you want to yell and be like, go, girl, like... This is not it. Like, I'm telling jokes about, like, my dead father. Like, no, take your money somewhere else. I get that so much. And a lot of them apologize later. It's, like, a whole weird psychological thing. I think some women are still very uncomfortable seeing women do stand-up comedy. Because it's like, oh, she's going to, like, tell our secrets. Or what if she bombs and then, like, proves the point.
All women are terrible. Yeah.
And so they literally, I don't know, I think they just like get uncomfortable and they overdrink. And then all of a sudden they're like,
there's a theme.
That's happened to me too.
Yes, sis.
Girl boss up there on stage.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that is so. I'm like, even when people are like, who here has, you know, and they like want people to shout out or they're
say,
I'm like
don't
always
answer.
Dead silent in an audience. Like to the point where I forget to laugh even if I'm enjoying because I'm like never want to overstep. I'm just like.
Or I go the opposite way and someone says a joke that's like mildly funny and I'll like giggle, but then I'll be like, oh, no one else is laughing. Let me help. I'll go too far. And one time some comedian pointed at me and was like, okay, you're having too much fun. Like, it's not that fun. You could turn it down.
Oh, like, I would love that. Oh, you'd be my favorite audience member.
No, they were like, you got a loud
queen
laugh. You
in
got
the
a loud
second
laugh.
Row with the fake laugh. Please stop.
Oh, me?
No, I'm like, okay, this is the only person in here who's right now. Thank you.
So it's a battle of who's right and wrong in the audience. Okay, okay. I understand
constantly.
That now.
Oh, always. Yeah. I posted about this, but it was something that, like, you know, RIP to Norm Macdonald, the great, but he would always just be like, audiences can be wrong, and yes, it can be every single person in the room. I'm like, okay, good to know.
you need a certain blind confidence to get on any stage, so having Absolutely. That fact in your back pocket, I think is really helpful.
Yeah, sometimes it's just not it, you know, it's not working, or I don't know. I mean, it's never usually like the whole crowd for me, but I've definitely been to places where it's just like, I am not their cup of tea and there's nothing that I can do about it because it works so well in so many other times that I can't be like, you know, well, this must be my fault. Right. I don't know.
Okay. So speaking of the great Norm Macdonald, who are some comedians that you like really idolized or looked to or were inspired by before you started 11 years ago?
Oh, well, definitely Maria Bamford.
Oh, yeah.
Like, now my friend. So that's been a weird, you know, that's such a strange thing about comedy is like your idols just become your friends because it's so small. There's yeah. not that many of us.
Wait,
and Maria
quick story
does
about-
bring out a notebook sometimes, but she is openly mentally ill and can't remember a lot of stuff. So,
but I've seen her with the notebook and she's smooth.
And
she's
smooth good about it. Yeah. She doesn't stop and like hold up the room to be like, hold on, what am I going to.
Exactly.
Also, Michael, my boyfriend, used to live in her old apartment down the street.
Oh, wow.
How fun. And that. So when he moved in, he like asked her questions about the apartment and she said, nothing, you might see a ghost of this old gay guy who died masturbating in there. But other than that, and so he was like, cool, great, thank you.
Whoa, wait, how did she know that he died masturbating?
I don't know. I didn't ask. It was like an email. There was no extra questions.
He never came yet on business.
Right. So when you see him, he's just constantly
he's just sitting in
off.
The just beating it off.
And Michael was just never wearing clothes.
Yeah.
And get it, ghost.
Yeah, you want this haul.
Wow.
I love Maria. I love fucking Cat Williams. Maybe like one of the most entertaining people I've ever seen.
Oh my god.
Norm, of course. I don't know. Like, I mean, a lot of my, like, I wasn't at the time that I started like a comedy nerd. Mm-hmm. I had seen Maria before at the Punchline, but like, I feel like most of my references are not like, I just did a show with Marsha Warfield and I like lost my mind because that's like, I like watched so much like 80s and 90s comedy at stand up that was like an iconic person to like meet. And she's still so fucking funny. Also, did you all know that she just came out? She came out in her 60s.
Oh, that's amazing.
I'm like, Marsha Warfield wasn't openly a lesbian on Night Court. This is a crazy world.
Yeah, you're like, did you see your haircut?
Oh my gosh.
That is so cool.
So what made you, like, what was your first stand-up show? Like, what made you start comedy?
Oh, well, I kind of just did it on a dare. Like, my friend Becky Wolf was going to this open mic, and she was like, you should come. It was just the Brainwash Cafe. It's literally a laundromat on Folsom Street in SF.
Ooh.
And, oh, y'all are familiar with Folsom Street.
Yeah, I'll see everyone at Folsom Street Fair this weekend in San Francisco. Oh, I guess it comes out after that.
Yeah, so in my first set, someone pissed in my mouth. It was really exciting.
Ooh!
No,
for Dipper's gig.
I just went to this open mic and I thought it was just like a crazy thing I was doing because I wanted to do something scary. And then I just kept going back. It was really weird. Nobody expected it, least of all me. So yeah, I started in the Bay and then I just started running my own shows in the East Bay. And like, I don't know, it just took on this momentum because I made friends and I was getting laughs, you know, from the beginning. And I was so nervous every time for, like, years. It was, like, exhilarating in that way. Like, I was like, oh, I'm doing something that's hard.
Yes.
And uncomfortable.
Yeah. It's really fucking hard. Damn.
It is hard. And it's so uncomfortable.
It's the worst, truly.
It really is. Because there's, like, I don't know. For me, there's that split second when you first walk on stage that there's no reaction from the audience. And you have to start talking. Whereas, like, when I'm in drag, there's an immediate reaction from the audience because I'm stepping out and, like, beginning a lip sync, and there's a look, and there's all this involved. But, like, in stand up, they're like, all right, tell me a joke, lady man.
Come on, boy, woman.
Come on, he, she. Get up there and tell me a giggle.
When I first started performing music live, like, my music obviously has, like, little bits of humor in it. But when I first started performing live, I would get on and I would grab the mic and I would start talking a little bit. I'd be like, hello, I'm going to do some sex songs about gay stuff. And are you ready to dance a little? Like, and a friend of mine was like, just start. Like, don't talk. Don't talk before.
This song
just
is called Masturbating Ghost.
Right, exactly. They were like, don't do that part. And so then I have now in between songs, I really have a better sense of, like, banter, and I make people laugh, and there's, like, a bit of humor there, but I have to sort of get into the mode, you know what I mean? And doing one song gets me there. I can't imagine going in cold. Y'all all have to go in cold. No lube!
No lube, baby.
Yeah, because, like, it's interesting, like, comedy is so hot right now. Mm-hmm. Like, people are like, oh, it's cool to go see stand-up comedy, which... thank you. God bless. I love to work.
Keep doing it.
We love to work. But it's still something that freaks a lot of people out. So you're right, Meatball. It's like the main expression when you first come out is suspicion. You know? It's
yeah.
Like, people like in comedy audiences, they do want it to work. And that's something I always have to... Someone told me very early on, like, have empathy for the crowd. They're on your side. We all want to have a good time. Nobody wants to
they're
see
on your
a
side.
Mess. Because it makes it uncomfortable, because public speaking is still, like, everyone's number one fear. So we're doing something in front of a crowd that's like, oh, you're doing literally something I would kill myself if I had to do right now.
Right.
So it's just, yeah, like, the confidence, like, goes a long way. We're just like, don't worry, I've done this before. We're all going to be fine. I'm going to shepherd you through it. but it's it's just a weird thing to do. And so I think now people are coming because, like, it's cool and they still aren't comfortable with it. And it's just, yeah, it's such a weird thing. And now I like to think about those early days at the Brainwash, because I know for a 3-minute set, I felt like I was going to shit all my clothes and it felt like an eternity. And now I'm like up around the country doing an hour 10, whatever, just fucking, sometimes I'll leave my body in the middle of the set and look down and be like, what am I doing? Why are these people listening to me for this long?
Oh, no.
Not in a panic. No. Like in a how fucking weird is this job?
Yeah.
That you just, like, I'm talking for an hour? That seems excessive. Like, what is wrong with these people that paid to see it? Like, you're sick.
I also think that, like, fear of that, like, crazy, you know, like, you're talking about fear of public speaking and that criticism. It reminds me of all those, like, memes that were circulating last week with the Met Gala of, like, a troll human in a garbage-filled room laying in a dark, you know, like, the lights are off, just, like, the glowing phone, and they look awful, and the image says, like, oh, they look horrible in that dress. Like,
yeah.
it's
your room.
It's so easy to critique with, like, out the experience. And so all of those people being like, God, that person wasn't funny. It's like, you could not string two words together with the stage lights on you.
I do think, audiences have kind of been burned a lot, too, by the weird way this industry works. Because people buy tickets to go see an actor, a TikToker, a fucking someone from Saturday Night Live that was on 25 years ago that they like, because they're like, oh, this is a name that I know. And then they can't fucking do stand-up. And it is such an uncomfortable experience that people are just like, well, if I don't know you at all, then I'm even more suspicious. And it's like, bitch, I know how to do this. I do it every night.
Yeah.
If you want to go to comedy shows, this is for your audience. Just do some research. Look it up. See if it's good. Don't just go see a celebrity. Fuck Jeremy Piven doing comedy. Yeah! Like, suck my ass. Suck my asshole.
He was notoriously bad. And then didn't he just, like, cancel a bunch of dates randomly? Say it was
probably,
for mercury
poisoning?
Probably
got COVID for a sixth time. Like, who knows? I don't know that he's ever had COVID, but I wish he would get it.
I'm sure he did.
With the slander. For our audience, if you're going to go see stand-up live, go see Amy Miller. How about that?
Yeah. Yes, that's a good plan.
You're back on the road, baby.
All right,
and that leads us to our next segment after this quick break. I could do it.
I didn't know you were going to do it.
I knew it.
Okay, we're back.
Lead that in. Well, we're back. No, we're back. I'll run this. And now it's time for our next segment, which is Fuck Talk! A segment where we ask our guests an uncomfortable question of, do they have a funny or weird or uncomfortable sex story that they'd like to tell us?
Oh, no.
You'd be fucking
and
on the road?
I know you've been touring a lot and you're recently single. So,
yes,
you've been doing any nasty shit?
Interesting journey for me. So almost seven out of the roughly 10 years I've been doing stand-up, I've been in a relationship, monogamy, and now I'm not, and it's interesting.
Seven years. So long.
For sure horny, for sure, but also, like, don't want to fuck comedians.
Okay, what about fans?
They're just there. Fans, yeah, I guess so. Not like a super duper fan. Oh, well, I'll tell you about a close call. Okay. When I was in Seattle with Nicole last, I almost made another version of a terrible choice and fucked someone who worked at the comedy club. And
whoa.
Okay. This is the story. And I was like fresh out and I was like, okay, this guy's cute, but he was kind of a super fan. He's like, I listened to every episode of your podcast. Whatever. If he hears this, fuck him.
Well, we could bleep this.
So we were just kind of flirting, but I was like, I feel like this is a bad idea. So I was kind of like taking it slow. And then he was too. And then the one night that we were for sure going to hook up. Oh, it's so disgraceful. Me and Nicole on the road, like, it's like impossible for us to fuck. And that is a crime. Okay, let's just say that.
Yeah, y'all should be doing orgies in the hotel room every night.
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, we're whores and we are great at it. And, you know, she'll even set shit up and then, like, guys just, like, ghost. And I'm like, why? Okay, fuck you. But so I'm kind of, like, taking it slow. But then we started, like he's, like, sent me a couple dick pics. And
oh,
they were all taken outside. Let's just put that. Let's just note that.
Outdoorsy?
Like, outdoors. Like, the Seattle night. Okay, well, let me tell you. So then we made plans for, like, Saturday night, and it was just like, yeah, let's do it. Come to my hotel, whatever. And he, around, like, 2 a.m., after closing the club, he was just like, oh, I got some dad shit to deal with because he has kids. And I'm like, at 2 a.m., what are your children fucking up to, okay? So it never happened. We never ended up fucking. It was just, like, kind of sexting, and then he sent me the pics and stuff, and then I flew directly from Seattle to New York, and New York time, like, 7 a.m., which means 4 a.m. Washington, I got a phone call from a random number. It was his wife. And she was like, who the fuck is this? And I was like, who the fuck is this? You call on my phone. And she was like, this is so-and-so's wife. And I was like, oh, bitch, I am so glad you're calling me, because I made this dude swear. Like, because I looked at his Instagram and it looked like he had a whole ass family. And I was like, I do not fuck around with married monogamous dudes. It's just not something I'm not worth upsetting another woman's life for your nasty dick. for your nasty outside dick.
Nasty dick.
So that's why he was taking all these pictures on the patio.
Because his wife was inside. God. Go to the bathroom.
So I felt so bad for her. And this is where I really fucked up, is I did say, if you ever need to talk, call me.
To the wife?
Yes.
You trying to make a friend out of this?
I just felt bad for her because I was like, I don't know this fool. I made him swear over text into my face that he was not married, and he swore and swore. And I don't give a shit about him. Like, I'm sure I'll see him again when I work that club, but, like, fuck him, because why swear? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, the number of hoes that are willing to do it anyway if you're fully married is a lot. So just, like, be honest. Like,
yeah, and find one of those hoes.
Yeah, it's not me. So I was like, I'm sorry this is happening. And she's like, I feel like it kind of happens all the time. And I'm like, probably.
Probably, yeah.
And then she wanted details about what kind of texts we sent. And then I was like, oh, that's sort of where my line is. Like, I wish you the best, but I don't want to be involved in all y'all's drama. So I'm like, please actually don't call me.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And that was like my first attempt back out. So I was like, oh, great. So this is, I'm not so glad sign. I didn't sleep with him. Yeah. But like, it was just a nightmare.
That is so wild.
That's so crazy. Well,
men are not well out there.
Yeah. I mean, gay men are psycho, but it sounds like straight men are just way more trash.
So fucked up. They don't know what they're doing.
Dang.
But pre this relationship, I was, of course, a massive hoe.
Yes.
And unfortunately, a couple years, we met in Portland. And so before I fell in love and into monogamy, I was sadly dating in the Northwest, which is really just some of the least well straight men I've ever fucking met in my life. I don't know. There was the guy that after we fucked, he started saying the N-word a lot. Oops, didn't see that coming.
Oh, my God.
Just, and like, just for funsies. Like, just like.
Just to let it out. Wasn't talking about anybody in specific. Just needed to get that word out. You know, sometimes you hold on to it too long. You got to let it slip.
I did know he was probably weird and insane in some ways. I didn't know necessarily racist, but his drink, vodka water. No, that's just called vodka.
That's vodka. That's vodka. That's watered down vodka.
That's
what Tony Soto drinks.
And then, oh, sorry, Tony. And then he only wanted me to suck his dick when he was standing on top of the bed.
What?
With like his hand on the ceiling. What a move, right? Like the drama of that.
Well, let me ask you, were you, did the size work out where you were able to stand?
On the bed?
Or did you have to
floor.
Bend a little
oh,
bit?
You're saying when she's standing on the floor and he was.
Oh, I see. No, I was kneeling down on the bed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because to me.
And then he just like had both hands on the ceiling. Like, what is that?
Was he looking in a mirror at the time?
He was like, I'm going to touch this.
I'm so big.
I do enjoy a scenario where I can suck dick and be fully standing in my body.
Oh, yeah. And I love to provide that. And I will say, better kneeling on the soft bed than on the hardwood floor, which I've done many, many times.
Yeah.
And then now I'm just like 40, and so like you get back up and that knee starts to crackle.
Honey,
you're like, oh honey,
girl.
I don't know. I didn't know I was gonna be sucking dick this many years of my life.
I recently purchased dick sucking knee pads.
Oh, wait. Are they marketed as knee pads for dick sucking, or are they just knee pads and you've repurposed them?
Did you get them at the bicycle store?
No, they're marketed for dick sucking.
Now, what makes these knee pads? Go get them. What makes these knee pads any different? I need to see what makes them a different knee pad.
I'll show you exactly what I purchased. Give me 1 second. Talk amongst yourselves.
I mean, will.
I think we've also, Meatball, like, done that move where you grab the pillow from the bed
and
just toss it
on
the floor.
Put it on the floor. But then, you know, some people's pillows are not gross, but like really thin. Like people don't get new pillows or wash them after a while.
And then you're just on the floor again.
Yeah, then it's just like, oh, my knees have gone through. Now I'm on the floor. That just reminded me, should I wait for Dipper? Well, one time when I lived in New York, everyone in our audience gets tired of me talking about New York, but I hooked up with this guy that I met on Grindr, and I made him come to my apartment, and he only wanted to get a blowjob standing up, but like the way my apartment was set up, the only spot to really do it in besides my bedroom, which he didn't want to be near a bed, was just on the kitchen floor. So I was kneeling on hardwood for forever until he finally was like, I'm going to come. Where do you want me to come? And by that point, I was like, I don't care. Wherever.
I can't feel my fucking
I was
knees.
Like, just fucking come.
You couldn't grab a couple of dish towels and put one under each knee all balled
that
up.
That wasn't really the vibe. He was very much like, suck it now. And I was like, okay, we're doing this.
Yeah.
And then he came on the floor, and then he got dressed and left. And then, like, a week later, I went to an audition and he was the casting agent. And we had to act like nothing happened.
Oh, and you were like, I was already on the couch.
Yeah,
so
I was
got
like,
it, right?
Well, I thought kind of like, this is going to be my role.
I do, aside from the knee thing, I love a standing dick suck because everything's just right there.
Yeah.
You know, the whole buffet is available to you. Great time for a finger in the ass. lick the balls easier without having to, like, you know, get, like, scooped down there or
whatever.
Yeah,
you don't
crouch
underneath.
Everything's just there. Plus, if he has a hot body, then, you know, you just take a peek up every once in a while. And
grab
I'm like,
nip.
Oh, my God.
Grab the nip
a
little.
Put a finger in the mouth.
Slap
yeah.
Him.
I enjoy it.
I sucked a guy years ago who was very petite. And so
petite.
Even with me being on my knees, he had to stand on a milk crate in order to be at the right level.
And what grade was he in?
All right. So these are the knee pads. The reason they're not at a bike shop is they're fully soft. They're not about protection. They're just padded.
Cushion. Okay, so what we're seeing
here. Why do they
here...
look like Transformers?
Yeah, why is the Transformer logo?
Well, it's actually, if you look closely, it's a pig.
Oh, it's Nasty Pig.
It's not Nasty Pig. These are from Fort Trough.
Fort Trough. Sponsor
and
of,
the reason
bitch
is that it comes with two knee pads and
a sucking mask.
This is a dick sucking hood that you wear.
Oh, you little fucking slut.
You're gross. Well, I'm really proud of you.
That is such a big mouthful, by the way.
Well, it's for your nose and your mouth. But
you
it doesn't
it
fit
breathe.
On my head. This is too small for me.
Then put it on
it's
someone
too small?
Else's head, honey.
And
yeah,
then
put
what
it on someone else's
do
head.
Do I put my glasses on
them.
Top of it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Put it on one
I got
of these
a screenshot.
Petite men.
Yeah, these tiny men. That, oh my God.
It does nothing goes in the right hole.
That's so tight.
I love to just feel like I'm getting sucked off by a housefly.
Yeah, what? This is not, that's not sexy.
This is not the look for you?
No.
Here's the thing. This hole is so tight that I can't really even open my mouth all the way. So I feel like it does a disservice. For me.
Do you have a big head?
For my head shape.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's really it's really giving you a facelift, though. That brow is lifted.
I'm sneezing.
You kind of need that for myself.
All right, we should end the show, don't you?
Okay. Oh, you don't have a story you want to tell? Well, this is your story. You got this mask and it doesn't fit.
Don't worry. I just told three stories.
It's telling a story. Wait, put the elbow pad on, though. I want to see
it's
the whole
knee.
Well, they're knee pads.
Oh, yeah.
But you just want to
say elbow. Well, you could use it for both, though, right?
Yeah, it looks a little tight on
your
elbow.
Your elbow's on. I guess if
you're
like
a hardwood floor, if he's like laying down on the floor or something. Or, getting fucked from behind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think we all just need to keep fucking in soft places.
Yes.
Like, the fact that there is a demand for this product is...
It's wild.
It's also
just like men don't deserve it, you know?
Frankly, they should make me comfortable if I'm going to suck their dick. Not that.
This looks crazy.
You could go cruising in that and no one would know who you were.
Girl.
You got to take the glasses off.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing. I'm like, what do I do with these? What I will say is...
I can't take you seriously.
It is interesting. It is interesting.
This is now a wrestling podcast.
It is interesting to try to wear these in a inconspicuous way.
Yeah, well, because you don't own pants. You only own shorts.
Correct.
So when
these
you
are
stroll
like
up to someone's
out,
apartment, you're just wearing
my
dick
sucking knee pads.
Also, underpants or a dress is kind of genius because then you can suck dick in the bathroom of the bar that night without hurting your knees.
Exactly.
Damn. Okay, I'm getting it. It's all coming together. So when you sucked off Ric Flair.
It was a great time. It was spicy. All right, let's end the show.
Well,
How about that?
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Amy, so much for being here. Where can everybody find you?
Oh, find me at amymillercomedy.com for all my tour dates. Amy Miller Comedy on Instagram. Amy Miller on Twitter. I'm out there. I have videos up. You can see them. You can find me.
And your comedy special will be out in next year, 2022?
I think probably this winter.
Amazing.
Oh.
Don't quote me, but I think it's going to come out pretty fast.
I love that. So exciting. Can't wait to see it.
Thanks.
Thank you all so much for listening to Sloppy Seconds. You can follow us on Instagram at Sloppy Pod. You can email us at sloppysecondspod@gmail.com or call us with your fuck talk story to 213-526-9639.
9180. Make sure to follow us at Big Dipper Jelly and Spicy's Meatball on Instagram, Fat Drag Meatball on Twitter, and don't forget to like and subscribe so you don't ever miss an episode, which come out every Tuesday and Friday. Goodbye.
Bye.
We did it.
Bye. Bye. And don't forget to buy tickets to our live show that's going to be on October 12th.
Yes.
At 8:30 p.m. Or if you want to do a double feature, 7 o'clock and 8:30 at Executive Suite in Long Beach.
Great job.
Goodbye.
Do-do-do-do forever dog.
To listen to Sloppy Seconds ad-free and one day early, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus.
Sloppy Seconds is produced by Forever Dog and Moguls of Media, a.k.a. Mom.
Hosted by Big Dipper and Meatball. Music, editing, and sound design by William Pitt.
Executive produced by Willem Belli, Alaska Thunderfuck, Joe Cilio, Brett Boehm, and Alex Ramsey.
Our artwork was drawn by Christian Cimarroni.
And our theme song was written by Mike Malarkey.